Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Hollywood Red Carpet Radio Show. I am Debbie Perkins, and I'm your host. And I have an amazing, very talented gentleman here. His name is Jason Finley. Jason was the son of a bull rider, and he also was an actor. He advocates for health and fitness. He has some major films that he's worked in, but he's focused a lot on his award-winning body fitness, and he's also an author. So welcome to the show, Jason.
Oh, thank you, Debbie. Very nice to be here.
You know, we had you on some years ago, and we were talking briefly about that, and a lot's changed, and I think it's really great, but I think that we still have to go back. So for people that don't recognize you right offhand, could you talk a little bit about how you got started, for one, in the filming, and then it led you into where you're at today with the fitness?
Sure. Well, really, it all started with fitness. My whole life, I've been involved in sports. I grew up in Canada and basically started playing hockey at the age of 3. And that was pretty much the beginning of my whole fitness career, so to speak. I played hockey competitively for many, many years, and it led me to different sports also along the way, such as soccer and, you know, baseball, a little bit of football, all kinds of stuff like that. And I was just always athletic and always involved in that. But my mom was a high school music teacher, and she would take me to her concert band and her jazz band practices, and I would watch those as a kid, and I fell in love with drumming. And, you know, I would try and emulate what the drummers were doing and stuff at home, and I finally got my mom to get me a drum set, and it went from there. And at a very early age, at like 12 years old, I was my mom's high school band's backup drummer. And
that's
I remember having
–
oh, it's fantastic.
I can't believe that. Oh, my gosh.
I remember having a step in. My mom was fantastic. My mom was someone who just advocated for all the kids, and especially the problem kids. She loved the problem kids. And pretty much most of the band was you know, former problem kids that, you know, took a love into music thanks to my mom. But one particular year – she took the band to an Apple Festival to perform, but the drummer didn't show up. So literally, I was thrown in at the age of 12.
That's awesome.
It was so much fun. And I mean, it's one of my most fondest and vivid memories, you know, as a child. And from that point on,
was that your first live audience in front of people, like a concert? It's like a concert, really.
Yeah. I was up I was on a riser. And I remember there was maybe about 75, 80 people in and around that area. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And I was just staring down at my mom, who was standing at the lectern, you know, at the podium, and watching her conduct and just making sure that I was on key and on, you know, beat and doing everything I was supposed to do. And then at one point, I had a solo.
You did? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
been awesome.
I did a solo, and it was like, wow, this is too fantastic. And I got hooked on drums after that. So then I went back and forth between drumming and sports for the longest time. And eventually music kind of took over, and I focused on that. And, you know, I did music for many years professionally, for almost 12 years, actually. And back in the 90s, I lived here in New York, where I was doing all of the different bars, and we were touring, and we played everywhere. We played Cat Club, China Club, Danceteria, Limelight, CBGBs. We did them all. And at the time, we had Debbie Gibson's management. And it was really an exciting time. And eventually, you know.
So cool. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And Debbie Gibson was she was huge. When I was a kid, I loved her. Loved her. She's just a beautiful woman, great sound. For you to be exposed to such really cool people, but your mom, if she's like the major reason that you were able to, not only did she give you life, but she gave you music.
Yeah, she gave you, the thing with my mom is that she was like a stickler for piano. And I took I had some severe piano teachers when I was younger. And I just never took a liking to piano. I didn't like it because it was too theoretical, and there's too much theory involved in terms of learning scales, and I didn't like it. It wasn't my love. Then I said, "Come on, Mom, let me try drums." And she said, "Well, how about we try guitar?" I went to guitar. I didn't like guitar. I hated guitar. Guitar was like, I couldn't get a proper sound from it. I didn't have the patience to just, play with the fingers and get the chords properly. So I said, Mom,
how about drums? And then you got to have the small fingers. You
I guess I wasn't meant to be a guitarist. But then after I said, Mom, come on, let's try the drums. And
that's
eventually
great.
She gave in. Eventually she gave in. And that's that. And the rest is history, I guess. But it was a fantastic ride, spending all that time and touring. And it really, I have a soft spot for all those poor people right now that are out of work, that work with bands and their crew. And it's just really difficult because, when I was on the road, we did everything. We did our lights. We did our sound. We did our own. We were our own roadies, techs, everything. And now today, I have so many friends that fill those jobs professionally, and they're completely out of work right now. So, a little shout out to them. Hopefully,
will
get better soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you don't think about that. You really don't think about that. Halls being packed to the brim with thousands and thousands of people, and now this.
Right.
They'd have to. Well, I guess they could do an online type of concert, I think that would be a unique change. But do you still own a drum set?
Absolutely. My 1983 Ludwig Rockers Maple Edition. Absolutely. I wish I had my first drum set because my mom, being a music teacher, had access to, different colleagues and stuff like that, but nobody that really, was in the drum world. But one of her colleagues had an old drum set. It was a Bolero. And she traded that for an old rocking chair. got the drum set.
That's
and he
funny.
Got the rocking chair. And I wish I had that set because that set would be a collector's item today. I mean, my Rockers is. It's a beautiful drum set.
Yeah.
And I did so much touring with it. I mean, it took a beating over the years, but I still have it.
But it went everywhere.
It went everywhere.
It has history. If your drums could tell a story.
Oh boy, let me tell you something. It'd be an interesting one.
Would they tell
one.
A good story? I'm sure they would.
It would be a bestseller. Here we go.
Rated R and possibly maybe
possibly
an X.
Possibly
triple X, yeah. But you've been.
There were no cameras on phones back then. Let's just put it that way.
You know what? Probably a good thing. There'd be
exactly.
a lot of blackmail. Be lots of blackmail going on. Oh my gosh! Can you imagine? Can you just imagine? But what an amazing trip that you've had musically. I know I didn't. I mean, I think the last time we talked mostly about your films at the time, and we didn't really get into the meat of the real you. And I feel like that's where we're at right now. Is we're learning more about you. The other talents that you have that people. Either if they know you, then they know you do this. But for those who just be like, wow, because I think if I saw a picture of you sitting at your drums, I'd be like, wait a minute, I didn't know that about him, But I think it's always great to be a part of the world musically because you can, for one, you can communicate with everybody on the planet.
Absolutely.
drums
That's
are
right.
something that is in every country, whether it be a bongo,
mm-hmm.
a bongo to, I mean, you know, people have been hitting sticks on trees for years.
You know, anything could stop. Well, when a band's playing, anything could stop as long as the drummer keeps going. If the drums stop, everything
yep.
stops.
If the drummer, if you could lose power and you'd still be able to hear the drummer.
Exactly.
But there's
exactly.
nothing like a good solo either, is there?
So I tell you, nothing like it. Nothing like it at all.
Who inspired you in the music world? Besides your mom.
Well, apart from my mom, I was going to say, you know, there's a lot of drummers that I looked up to, from Buddy Rich, Neil Peart, Stuart Copeland. There's just so many of them that were innovative. You know, today it's a different world. Today there's so many machines that are playing the drums as opposed
yeah,
to drummers.
Yeah, there are. They push a button on a keyboard or a computer and boom, you've got the sounds
yeah.
that it took somebody years to master.
Exactly. And also, they have machines now that can play a little bit off time, so it has more of a human feel to it. So it's not
oh,
so,
really?
It doesn't sound like a machine so much. Yeah, it's unbelievable. But
kind of takes away from the real music. Because when we were young, there wasn't all these gadgets to make music. It was literally raw. I mean, they had a mic. They might have had a small sound machine, depending on how much money they had. But the sound machine basically balanced the instruments and the volume of the sound. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the soundboard. But nowadays, everything's on a push a button and you've got a sound. And I think it takes away from the fun of what you guys had as real, real band people. You know,
when I was young, and we were like in the meat of everything, drum machines came into play, and it became fashionable to have a drum machine in the studio and doing all these different synthesizer type sounds. So it kind of killed the momentum for drummers.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you know, you got bands that toured literally with a drum machine on stage, and then put a spotlight on the drum machine. You know what I mean? Instead of
it's so different.
A drummer there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But it's so
you know?
Exciting to see a drummer because even if it was, you know, like the AC/DC that had the one arm, it was amazing and shockingly amazing. But just the energy. You watch a drummer, they have the energy, and they're going,
right.
And they're just going, and there's no stopping them. But then again, you know the fever. I'm sure you've had it a few times,
in
front of a live audience.
Oh my gosh.
How much fun have you had? It's so excited.
Yeah.
So exciting.
There's
you
no
had
better
a great
feeling
year.
Than playing in front of a live audience. It's just
and you're doing.
It's a high like no other.
No, I'm here. I was listening.
Okay, I hear you.
You say it was nothing like playing in front of a live audience.
Oh, no. It's a fantastic it's a fantastic trip, let me tell you. Beautiful.
That's so cool. You get to travel around, too, as well.
Yeah, we did a lot of traveling, mainly in North America. You know, a lot of bus touring, you know, when you're first starting out and you got your school bus that has all the seats ripped out except for the first 7 or 8 rows. And so it's just enough to put all your gear in the back and put the band in the front. And then you just tour around. It was, you know, it was interesting.
That's amazing.
That's
amazing.
Yeah.
So were you into like rock music or was you into like, I mean, because there's so many different, and like your mom taught piano, so she was probably more classical rock maybe?
I mean, I was pretty much into funk rock, and I was into, you know, pop rock. And then later on, it got a little heavier, you know. So everything from Duran Duran to NXS to Living Color.
Okay. Oh, fun
a
stuff.
It was a lot of fun.
Dance music. Music that everybody wants to get up and move. They want to move their bodies. But then that's kind of where you're at today and working with your body. But how did you go from being such a serious film person? I know that the covert probably has a lot to do with that, to being such a huge, awesome bodybuilder. Because, I mean, seriously, looking at you, you're massive.
Well,
and that's a that's a big compliment because you really are.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, it's just been a pretty much a lifetime commitment. I started training during the time that I was playing music. And interestingly enough, that bus I was just telling you about, I would take it early in the mornings and go to find a local gym somewhere, wherever we were, to go and work out while everybody else was sleeping. And, you know, it'd be hilarious. I'm in this small little town riding around in this big bus looking for a gym. But that was just part of my shtick, you know. They like to get up late and watch Star Trek. I like to go to the gym.
And in the energy that you have when you are doing other things, you had the extra energy you needed because you built that up. I think, you know, you keep yourself going. You slow down.
I think it's just it's a lifestyle, really. And that's the key, is to making sure that what you do is create a lifestyle for yourself. It's not there's no such thing as a fad diet. There's no such thing as a magic pill or a magic potion to become fit or healthy. It's just a question of committing to something and doing it, you know, day after day, and making sure that what you're doing is moving yourself towards a goal that you set for yourself. And if you can do that and just keep on moving for it and towards it, like sometimes you don't want to do it. And trust me, even after all these years, there's days that I really don't feel like doing it, especially in a pandemic when there was no gym to go to.
Yeah.
You know, you got to work out at home and figure
That's
out
been
how
a dilemma
do it.
For so many people just like you. And unless they had a home gym, you know, that they used on occasion, what do they do? You know, where do they go? What can they do? They can't really do a whole lot because who wants to jump on a machine?
Yeah, well,
oh, yeah, go ahead.
Quite a bit. You can definitely do quite a bit. I mean, what I've been able to do in 6 months with very little equipment is I surprised myself. I think you just got to figure out a new way of doing things and you know, commit and kind of reinvent to committing something new. And I don't see myself going back to a gym anytime soon, to be honest, with the situation that we're living right now. It's just not something that's conducive to being in a safe environment or an environment that will pretty much allow me to push and work at a high level of intensity. So I'd rather just be in a place where mentally I can be, you know, I'd be good where I'm at. And at home is fine. I got my equipment that I need. I don't have much, but I have what I need. And, you know, through this whole pandemic, I realized that you don't have to have all these big, heavy machines and all this big, heavy weight. And as a result, I created a new program, and it's called the 50 Fit program. And what it is, it's a 50-day program to a new fit. And it's just using home equipment that really anybody could have. It's just literally a couple of dumbbells and a ball. It's all you really need.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and, you know, that with a sound diet and a good fat-burning plan will get you in an incredible shape. And you don't need more than that. You know, it's just a question of knowing how the body works, why the body works the way it does, and finding out how you could then use how the body's supposed to work to your advantage. And that's what I'm working on.
I see what you're saying. What about people who struggle with, whether it be thyroid or maybe even joint issues? Do you kind of tweak things for people that, you know, specifically tweak them for that person so that they can get the most out of a workout and still not injure themselves? You know what I mean?
Yeah, this particular program is designed for someone to work out at home. So, you know, given the pandemic and the uncertain conditions, we shouldn't have to sacrifice our fitness. And the program can be adjusted to anybody. Anybody at any fitness level, at any level, you know, that they're either starting out or they're intermediate or advanced, it all can be tweaked. And that's the whole thing, is that in the end, you're only competing against yourself. You're not competing against anybody else. And you can always improve upon yourself 100% from where you are right now. And that's the goal, is just to improve upon yourself. And what I've done in this program, I've made it a step-by-step program where not only do we give you the program, but I also explain to you why you're doing what you're doing. I give you a whole section on the education aspect of why it is we're doing what we're doing. And then from there, you can follow step by step, knowing what to do every single day, knowing what to eat every single day. And at the end of the 50 days, all of a sudden, you have a brand new you to work with and a commitment creating, you know, this this new you for long term.
That's awesome. I like that you work like that. Now you're looking at, well, you've got a couple of books out now.
I'm very excited about that. Right now, I'm in the middle of just finishing up the last layout for two books. So it'll be completed in the next probably week to 10 days, and then we'll be releasing them around Thanksgiving. I have one book out already. The Adventures of Captain Pump is the title, and it's a kid's book to help them become fit and healthy using a cast of characters, a fitness superhero, and his sidekick janitor. And I'm very, very, very happy with the outcome. You know, again, because of the way things went the last 6 months, I had a lot of time to be able to work on them and move the project forward. It was supposed to only be released next year. But seeing, you know, all of a sudden the changes that happened, I have more time to work on them. I'm very happy that we finished them, and can't wait to get them out there.
I'm so happy for you that you're able to do that and put your work on in a book, in book, multiple books. Now, how many books do you have written so far?
3 books.
And now is that like covering like, you know, the first stages of what a person like at home would need to get, and, you know, how they could begin and, you know, build up their repetitions and all that?
No, these are kids' books. So these are fitness books written for kids. And the idea is I created a fitness superhero called Captain Pump, and Captain Pump helps kids become fit and healthy. And we have a whole cast of characters, and the actual storyline happens in two parallel worlds, the real world and the world of Pumpland. And there's lessons, everyday lessons that, you know, kids could learn and apply in their everyday lives, along with fitness lessons and a storyline. And I'm very excited about them. There's really nothing out there like this, where you're combining a storyline with the lesson and a fitness book. We also have at the back of the book Captain Pump speaking directly to the reader. So after the story is over, he comes back and he summarizes it with them to make sure that we, you know, focus on those lessons that were in the book and kind of try to hammer them home so people and the kids can understand from the perspective of Captain Pump how things should be, you know, implemented, or how you should do the exercises, or how you should eat a certain way, or how you should be kind to one another, how perhaps you should be helpful, you know, to your neighbor and your friends and your family, all these kinds of things. So really,
it's a more like a discipline. Be a little bit more disciplined. Yeah. And for children, I think that's commendable, because I think during this stay at home where the kids have not been at the school and there's been no gym, there's been no, they're gaining weight and they're hanging around, and kids are different today. When I was a kid, your mother said go outside, you were outside all day.
right.
You were gone. You just took off. Now kids are, they don't even want to go outside. And,
right.
You know, like, and they don't, and it's like, I just wonder how many kids are suffering with disorders because they're not able to get the exercise they need.
Yeah, and the whole idea with the book is to try and promote that, to promote the exercise, promote going out and doing things, getting away from a screen, getting, you know, some physical activity on a daily basis, making sure you're moving your body, making sure you're feeding your body, and making sure you're treating your body well.
If you could give a tip to somebody just starting out, what would be the very first exercise that you think would be the safest for any person to do? And every
the
day.
Very first,
just...
The very first exercise I promote for anybody who's starting out would be walking. Walking is the easiest form of exercise. It's the one that uses the most of your body's mass. It's also the one that it's safest on your joints because there's no pounding, you know, as running or jogging would create. So walking for a short distance to start, you don't have to walk for a long time, walk for 10 minutes to start, and then build up your endurance slowly but surely. And then before you know it, you'll be walking 20 minutes, 30 minutes, with no problem whatsoever. But you know what? It's always about starting, and we all started at the same place. No matter what you look like today, no matter how muscular you may be today, no matter how strong, no matter how fit, you started off at square one like everybody else. So I just really want people to know that regardless of where they are, they can improve upon themselves 100% from wherever they are today, as long as they simply commit and do. Just commit to doing it and make it happen.
I think that's really amazing. Now, if someone wanted to, like, lift weights, so to say, what would be the very safest start-out weight for any person, regardless of their age or size, to just lift it for the first time?
It's not really
they start
the
out very low?
Yeah, it's not. It's
okay.
Not a question of weight. It's a question of technique. It's a question of posture. It's a question of how you execute the movement. Because, you see, the muscles themselves, they all have a specific function. And biomechanically, mm-hmm. they're made to work in certain planes of motion. What we have to do is use that to our benefit and exercise in such a way that is safe and that is also going to be effective to developing those particular muscles. Now, you don't need a lot of weight to do that. And, you know, we've proven that during this pandemic where we don't have access to the kinds of weights that perhaps we lifted in gyms. I mean, I was doing leg presses with 1,300 pounds. I don't have 1,300 pounds of weight in my house. So I have to figure out a new way of doing things. There's some stairs not too far away that are crazy hard. And I've been doing stairs for the last 6 months. And I've been doing, you know, other types of training. Yeah, you just have to, you know, readapt, reinvent, recreate. That's what I talk about in the 50 Club. It's all about that.
I think that's awesome.
You know?
I think that's amazing.
So being, you know, being about technique and fitness posture, the whole program is based on that. The 50 Fit Club talks about posture and how you execute movement and how you are using your body to make sure that you're staying within the parameters of what your muscles are supposed to do in terms of the function. So you're not using all these other muscles around the ones you're intending to use. We call those synergistic muscles. We're not using all the synergistic muscles to then help you lift the weight. And that happens a lot in gyms. When you're lifting heavy weight, you'll see technique being compromised just to be able to move the weight. It's not about that. It's about moving the weight correctly without having to compromise the technique. That's when you start developing your muscles.
That's really cool that you, you've been doing this a very long time, clearly. And I like the fact that you've educated yourself in order to be able to help other people educate themselves, but independently for their particular body type.
Well, I'm a kinesiologist, so my degree is in health science, and it's really all about how and why the body moves. It's the scientific method of how and why the body moves. And having that knowledge allowed me then to create the programs that I have based on the fact that, like I said earlier, the muscles have specific functions. If you know those functions and you know the planes of motions, you know biomechanically how they move, you can create these kinds of programs.
It's really amazing. And I always wonder, you know, as people get older and their bodies don't work the way they should sometimes, you know, they get kinked up or they have joint issues. Do you help to explain things for people as they age?
Yeah, it's really important to stay active as you age. As the saying goes, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. And it's true. If you don't use your body and exercise it and move it and keep it loose and keep it limber and keep it flexible, it's not going to happen. So it's important to keep the body moving that way, because don't forget, as much as we want to condition our muscles, the heart's also a muscle. The heart needs to be conditioned, and we have to keep it healthy. So, you know, doing a little bit of light cardio, like I said earlier, but walking, very important. Then, of course, we have to think about making sure the bones stay strong. So that's where the weight resistance training, that's where, you know, we have to start making sure that the body sustains a certain load on the muscles on a regular basis, so those bones stay strong. Very important as we age, because osteoporosis, osteomyelitis, all these different issues, arthritis, you want to try and avoid that as much as possible. You know,
I didn't know about the bones. I didn't know that your bones could get weaker.
Very much so. And you have to
keep
your bones strong. Yeah, absolutely. Very important as you're lifting weights, keeping your bones strong. And, you know, very much. Connective tissues, bones, muscles, you know, it's a whole system. And I love the body and how it works. It's just such a fantastic, intricate machine. It could be fine-tuned like a Ferrari. All you got to do is, you know, make sure that you do it on a regular basis. It's like your car. If you have an older car and you only drive it once every month, it's not going to do very much for you. And eventually, you know, brakes will seize and different problems will occur with the car.
Yeah.
You're not using it. But if you have an older car and you use it on a regular basis and do the regular maintenance, that car could last forever. So it's the same thing with your body. You got to do the regular maintenance on it. You got to feed it properly. You got to exercise it properly. You got to make sure you use it. You got to move it on a regular basis. You know, if you have time to sit in front of the television for a half an hour, you have time to go outside and do a little walk. You have time to sit and do 15 minutes of resistance training. It doesn't take long for the body to really start to change, because the body is a fantastic and it could be your best friend. What I mean by that is that if you start to treat your body well, even though perhaps you haven't for many years and you've ignored its needs, for example, you know, the body needs you to do things during the day so it could do its work while you're sleeping at night. Because all metabolic change happens while you sleep at night. Nothing happens while you're awake. While you're awake, you prepare the body to do what it needs to do at night. You feed it properly. You give it all the nourishment that it needs. You exercise it. So as we exercise, we create micro tears in the fascia of the muscle. So we actually break down the muscle to rebuild the muscle. So the idea of having enough protein in your diet so that your body can rebuild that muscle through the diet and not through getting the protein from the muscle itself is very important. All these things I talk about in the program. The program is very, very it's a complete program. It's very comprehensive. It's very easy to use. I broke it down in sections. You know, it's not difficult, and it's something that you can do on your own. I have videos that accompany the program. I have pictures that accompany the different exercises so that you know what the technique is supposed to look like, what the posture is supposed to look like at the start and end positions. So these are really important things to know. And, you know, for me, it's been a life it's been a life, what's the word I'm looking for? Not experience, but it's more than that. It's been something, a life commitment to fitness and health and nutrition and living a healthy lifestyle. And if you can commit to yourself, and you don't have to commit for a lifetime. I committed for 1 week when I first went to a gym. And as the story goes, I went. As the story goes, I went with some kids from school, some friends from school, and they went for a week, and I've been going for 30 plus years.
outlasted them all.
I you know, it's all a question of that. Yeah, it's all a question of committing. And the body is a creature of habit. The body loves it when you start doing something on a regular basis. And when you start doing things on a regular basis, it gets used to it. It's almost like your pet. Your pet knows when it's time to eat, and you know when it's time to feed your pet because your pet tells you it's time to eat.
Right, because it's a schedule.
Right, and your body operates on that same kind of schedule. Like, I know exactly when it's time to eat. I know exactly what has to happen at what time because my body tells me. And, you know, the cool thing about it is that when your body is working that way and your metabolism is elevated because you're working that way, you burn more calories. And, you know, you could do incredible things later on in life. I know a lot of people think that after the age of 40 that things are just, you know, downhill to the point where it's not even worth trying. And that's completely false. You can do incredible things.
I think you're right about that. I think that is what people, as they get older, they figure, why should I bother? No one's going to look at me anyway. And your philosophy on that is what?
My philosophy is that the more that you believe in yourself, the more that you value yourself, the more that you feel that you are worth it, the more everybody else will feel it as well. Because, you know, part of the idea of being fit is also accepting the fact that perhaps you're not fit right now. In other words, in order to make a change, you have to change something that's real and not perceived. So there's one of two things that happen. Either people give up or they live in some alternate reality that they believe is true, which really is not. So what they then do is they try and change something that's not really real because what they're trying to change is not their true self. So part of this program is understanding how important it is to make sure that you're working with your authentic self and changing your authentic self and being true to who you are today, because that's how you create change. Now, a lot of people, in my estimation, are unable to keep long-term results because when they started this program, they never started through their authentic self. And more so than that, they never truly believed that they were worth changing. So the idea of them changing their bodies actually worked against them because all of a sudden they were getting this kind of attention that they necessarily weren't prepared for or they didn't really, really want down deep. So they let themselves go to the other side again. So my concept is you have to change how you perceive yourself. You have to see that you're worth it. You have to see that whatever it is that you're going to do in a gym or, you know, in your kitchen in terms of how you're going to prepare your food and how you're going to sleep at night, all these things are because you feel the net worth is definitely something that you want to increase. You want to increase your net worth. And there's only wealth when you have your health. It doesn't matter how much you have. It doesn't matter what the bank account says. It doesn't matter how many cars you have in the driveway, how many boats you have in the water. Because the bottom line is simple. If you don't have your health, none of that matters.
No, it all goes away because you go away.
Right, or
as a fact,
you can't enjoy it because you're unable to move, you're unable to be mobile. That's even worse than being gone. So, you know, you only have one body and you only have one mind. And like it or not, you can't trade them in for a new model like you can your car or even your spouse. You can't do it. You got to stick with it. You got your body and your mind, and you got to make it the best that you can because you only have one.
Now, what about people who were injured or people who were ill from this covert and they're trying to heal up? What's the best way to approach them with the fitness as well? Because I think that it's kind of what's happening now. And like people who are injured, whether it be in an auto accident or just injured, what's the best way for them to reconnect with their bodies in a fitness sense that if somebody came to you and they had had this situation, one of those situations, how would you advise them?
I've worked with so many people over the years that had injuries and stuff like that. I've worked with a lot of people from Cirque du Soleil that had horrible injuries and needed to basically start from scratch and learn how to walk again, even because of the falls that they had and the accidents they had on the high wire or on a trapeze. The bottom line is simple, is you have to start over. You just, you know, these poor people that were stricken with COVID and spent months on a ventilator that came out of a hospital and had to learn how to walk again, learn how to talk again. It's just an unfortunate situation, but the only way to do it is just to take one step at a time and do it. There's no other way around it. I think that the most important thing is always making sure that you tell yourself that it's always going to get better, that whatever it is today, tomorrow will be better than it is today. So the idea is to always make yesterday better than tomorrow, tomorrow better than yesterday. And that's the key. If you can always make the next day better than the one you're living today, you're just going to keep improving. And that's what I try and instill in people more than anything. And it's like, it's not looking at the results. It's looking at it's the journey. It's not the result. And even it's kind of a cliche, but really it's one foot in front of the other. That's how you get to the end of wherever you're trying to go. It's not by looking at where you want to be without even moving and hoping that you can get there without even moving. You got to move. You got to put one foot in front of the other. If I want to walk to the fridge, I can't think that I want to be at the fridge and all of a sudden I'm going to appear. I got to get up off the couch and I got to go walk to the fridge. You know, it's the same thing with anything else. I couldn't even bench press an Olympic bar and 25 pounds on either side. You know, that's not that much weight. That's only 85 pounds. 95 pounds. I couldn't even do that when I first started. And, you know, it was just a question of continuing to do it and committing to do it. I commend some of these people that I see online that post their training, you know, the young ones that are starting off and they're proud of what they're doing and they're posting things. The only thing I would like to say about that is that please be careful of the people you're following or the people that you're emulating, because technique is key. I don't see a lot of people really with fantastic technique, and I don't see a lot of people explaining technique. I see a lot of videos on Instagram and on Facebook of people doing exercising, but not necessarily explaining how it's done. That's the key. You can't learn by watching someone do without explaining what it is they're doing. So I would definitely put out there as a bit of a red flag there.
I've seen some really, about a month ago, there was a guy that had like the biggest arms at some point, I guess. And I was like, how the heck did he have arms that big? He was injecting himself with stuff that made him bigger, but yet it did not. Thing for his muscles.
Right, right.
It was
odd
situation.
I know what you're talking about. I've seen that before.
You do? Now, that's scary because they're putting stuff in their bodies that they don't need to. You're all now. People don't need to do that.
Yeah, it's interesting because in one of my books, I deal with that issue where one of the kids needs to pass a fitness test and embarks upon the wrong track to do so. And we deal about that situation in the books. But I think it's important that at an early age it's dealt with, because more and more these kids are starting to take performance-enhancing substances earlier and earlier. And it's important to make sure that we address that issue. But for the most part, you know, people are doing what they can, you know, without any performance enhancements of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
I think a proper diet is very, very important. And I think a lot of people that think are eating a healthy diet really are not. And it's not their fault. It's just a question of knowing what it is that you're taking or knowing what it is you're eating, knowing what supplements, knowing what vitamins, all these different things. And, you know, like I said earlier, you can fine-tune the body like a Ferrari, but you just have to know exactly what to do and, you know, eat certain foods that are conducive for you. And it's only through trial and error that you find out, you know, what exactly works for you personally. There's definitely guidelines you can follow, but understanding what certain foods do to you. Some foods, for example, will make someone bloated and not bloated for someone else. Someone might be able to have gluten and someone might not be able to eat gluten. It really is dependent on the individual, but being in tune with your body and knowing what your body does is very important. And knowing, you know, how your body reacts to certain foods or certain exercises or whatever it may be is important as well. So listening to your body is something else that I certainly would recommend.
Ticket throws one thing away from every kitchen or pantry and as a food item that is not good for your body. What item would that be?
Any kind of let's say, fried food, any kind of food that would have some kind of a natural or artificial flavoring, because a natural flavoring is not natural at all. It's just basically taking a flavor that exists already and enhancing it so people become more addicted to it, whereas an artificial one is completely 100% artificially created in a lab. Whereas a natural flavor is they take the natural flavor that exists and enhance it. That's the difference between those two. But anything that is in a can could be very difficult on your body. Could be full of salt, could be full of different fats. If you, for example, canned beans, if you're going to eat canned beans, I suggest that you rinse them. I mean, thoroughly rinse them. Put them in a colander and rinse them before you actually put them in whatever it is you're going to use or in your rice or whatever it is you're going to put them in. Otherwise, you got a lot of fat and a lot of salt that's going into that dish that you don't necessarily want.
They do that so that you buy the product because of the flavorings.
Correct.
But the content of what's in it doesn't have to be good for you as long as you buy it. That's all the companies care about.
Yeah.
Food.
Unfortunately, we have to be our own advocates when it comes to proper eating and read labels. We have to be very careful of what we choose to eat. You can't look at something because, you know, the commercial was nice or good or said that it was good for you and necessarily take that and run with it, because you really, you know, the old saying of when you buy things in a grocery store and you want to stay at the outside aisles, the idea is to try and stay as much as possible around the perimeter of the store, because
right,
everything that's around the perimeter is either the fresh foods or the healthy foods. And that's pretty much
That's pretty interesting. I wouldn't even given it a thought. Now, how often should someone drink an 8-ounce glass of water?
Water is so important. It's the body's way of cleansing itself. It's the plumbing system. Some people drink a gallon of water a day. I kind of feel that's a little bit excessive, but if you're able to drink 6 to 8 glasses of water a day, you know, you're doing a fantastic job. Now, I'm not saying flavored water. I'm not saying Crystal Light. I'm not saying, you know, any other type of water except for regular plain water. If you're drinking flavored water, that's not water. It's important to know that if you're trying
And carbonated water, they make that carbonated stuff too.
I do not suggest the carbonated either, because there's a lot of salt in carbonated water,
yeah,
or the gas itself in the water, the CO2, that expands in your stomach as well and creates a bloated stomach. So you don't want that either.
That's all amazing information. It really is. I love talking to you about this, because I think we're in a situation where there's so many people that need to hear this advice, or and they definitely need to buy a book, your books, to help. It just will make their lives longer and more quality to their life.
That's the key. You know, Deb, the idea is to increase your quality of life, and there's no price tag on quality of life. You can't, it's not worth anything more than anything else in this world. It's quality of life. You know, if you're able to be mobile and do things and, you know, be active until your 90s, then you have definitely had a fantastic quality of life. In order to accomplish that, you have to take care of yourself earlier in life. You know, you could certainly start if it's later in life, but in order to maximize the ability of your body to stay resilient and sustainable, you got to start early. So anybody out there who's listening, who's in their 20s, their 30s, and their 40s, you have so much time ahead of you. If you're in your 50s and your 60s, you have a lot of time ahead of you. If you're in your 70s, you could increase your health by 100% from wherever you are today. And that's the key, is to just be better tomorrow than you are today. If you can do that every single day, then every single day will be better than the last.
I think that's awesome. Do you find yourself working with some actors?
Yeah, I work with actors. Being an actor myself,
yes,
I work with different actors and things like that, absolutely. But, my whole thing is I love working with the everyday person, the person who wants to work, who wants to really change their lives, not because it's going to help them look better on screen, but because it's going to help them live a better life. And that's pretty much my goal, is to help people in general. And the more people I could help, the more fulfilled I feel myself. And, you know, being fulfilled in life is really the key to happiness.
I like that, Jason. That's awesome. Where can people purchase your books?
The books will be
and
available
on
Amazon.
What are the names of your books as well, so that we know what to look for?
So the kids' books, the whole series, it's called The Adventures of Captain Pump. There's one book out there right now, and there'll be two more available as of November, which is very exciting. So there'll be a total of three books, and they work together. It's a trilogy. And I'm in the middle of writing the next three now. And then the 50 Fit Club is an online program that we'll be launching as well in November, which is going to be a program, like I explained earlier, is a one-stop shop to becoming fit and healthy. And it's a 50-day program to your new fit. After that 50 days, you'll be well on your way to be able to create something long-term, because we'll have created new and more powerful ways for yourself to become fit and healthy. And that is the key. So for now, that's what I have available. That's what's going to be coming available. I'm also very excited to start a YouTube channel for my kids' books. So I'm starting a whole TV show called The Adventures of Captain Pump, which is going to help the younger kids just teach them different elements of being fit and healthy, and teaching them how becoming active at an early age is important.
Now, will that be in like a cartoon, or is that going to be actual live characters?
No, it's going to be a live character.
Really?
In the COVID,
that's awesome.
In the COVID era, there's only one character. And I'm going to be playing all the different characters. And it's very exciting. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
Yeah, very much so. And then, of course, I'm going to have a show that's going to be a show that's going to support the 50 Fit Club. And that's going to be also very exciting, where people can call in, they can ask their
mm-hmm.
questions, and I'll be more than happy to answer them and help them on their lifelong pursuit to fitness.
Yeah, and then you have your interactive chat so they can ask you questions on live.
Right, absolutely.
That's amazing. It sounds like you're on your way. Are you still going to do some filming once the covert lifts?
Oh, absolutely. I've had a couple of auditions recently. Things are starting to open up. But unfortunately, as they're opening up, some things are also closing down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're definitely, you know, we're still in the hunt. We're still working on all those different possibilities. And, you know, let's just keep everybody safe and healthy. And that's pretty much the most important thing until we can come up with some way to fight off this virus, come up with a vaccine that will be effective for everyone, and then we'll all get back to work.
I think you have a good start on it, because being healthy is a good way to kind of be strong during, you know, keep your body strong during this whole thing, and it might help.
Well, here's the thing. If you have a strong immune system, definitely it'll help. However, there's no substitute for wearing a mask. You have to wear a mask. You have to make sure that you stay out of large groups. You have to make sure that you wash your hands. You have to make sure that you do all the things that is supported by science. Because everything that we do in fitness is all science related. Everything that we do to make yourself fit, healthy, to have the kind of resilience that I'm talking about is all science related. So it only makes sense that to combat this kind of a problem and a societal disease is through science. And science says, wash your hands, wear a mask, stay out of crowds, social distance, and keep yourself as healthy as you possibly can otherwise. Hello?
Thank you, Jason. That was amazing. And thank you so much for coming on and sharing all of your incredible insight. Look forward to hearing more about the books and the shows and all the things that you're doing.
Absolutely.
Where can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can get in touch with me on Instagram at Jason Finney, or you can find me at bodybyjason.com with two S's. Or they can find me at captainpump.com.
There you go. Thank you so much. What a great hour. Thanks a lot, Jason, so much for coming on. And
it was a pleasure,
thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Yes, it was great. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we will see you next Tuesday. So have a great night and an awesome weekend. Stay safe. And check Jason out, JasonFinnelly. And
no, it's Finney. No,
EY. That was my bad. Thank you so much. And everybody, you all have an amazing evening and a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.